Men Who Win, full of God's purpose, power, and life. Now, here's Gary Chester.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where all the real men come together.
Everything gonna be all right this morning.
To crack walnuts under our armpits.
Oh, yeah.
And to brush our teeth with barbed wire.
I'm a man.
Yeah.
I spell M.
Woo.
A child. N. That rabbit than man.
I already don't know if I'm up to it.
No B.
No.
Oh, child.
You're back in the gear house. Got a question for you. Is this true or false? Most men cannot become more successful than their fathers. Again, is that true or false? Most men cannot become more successful than their fathers. We'll get to that in just a minute. First of all, I want to tell you a story. There was this nun working in a men's prison. One spring, an inmate asked the nun to buy him a Mother's Day card to send home, and she agreed. Word traveled fast in the prison. Pretty soon, hundreds of inmates were asking for cards. So the nun got in touch with a greeting card manufacturer. And the manufacturer happily sent crates of Mother's Day cards to the prison, and all the cards were passed out. Soon afterward, the nun realized that Father's Day was approaching, and thinking ahead, she once again called the card manufacturer. The manufacturer responded quickly with crates of Father's Day cards. Years later, the nun still had every one of those cards. Not one prisoner requested a card for his father.
Men Who Win. To hear more, go to menwhowin.com.
Stephen Strang, in his excellent book, Old Man, New Man, talks about his dad, and I'm going to read it to you. My dad was, by nearly every measure, a good dad. He was a Christian man who never smoked or drank. I never heard him swear the entire time I was growing up. And when he died a few years ago, he had been married to my mom for nearly 48 years. Yet to me, Dad was always distant. I remember as a child thinking that he was always away. And he was working long hours to put himself at one time through graduate school, or spending even longer hours preparing for classes or counseling students when he taught in a college. Now, when he did play catch with me or go to a school function, I always had the distinct feeling that he would rather have been doing something else. Now that I reflect on it, maybe this is the same thing that my own son, felt for me a generation later. I never felt approved by my dad. Maybe I developed a tendency to overachieve, to try to prove something to him. And my dad would tease us in the belittling ways. For example, he had nicknames for my brother and sister and I that were the wrong gender. Jennifer, for instance, for me, Gertrude for my brother, and Walter for my sister, as if we were each born the wrong sex. And as we would travel and see a tumble-down old house that was overgrown with weeds, he would point out that that was our dream home. This was an oddball humor. Probably made no lasting marks on us, other than the fact that I remember it so clearly many years later. But I took it to mean that somehow there was something wrong with us. Now, later in life, I achieved some success. My dad always says he was proud of me. But at a time that when I was trying to think big and to achieve some goals, I felt that he had settled into a pattern of small goals. He was perfectly content to work for a small salary, live in a small house, and drive an inexpensive car. But he didn't have to settle for this before he was intelligent and talented and gifted. He was just not looking for more in life. Now, I'm merely telling you how I felt. I'm not saying that my dad was a failure. He was not. In fact, he was the first in our extended family to earn a doctorate. Yet, he was content with small goals. Building something successful was not important to him. And you know, and it may even be that some of your own financial struggles result from the relationship that you had with your dad. Now, that story by Stephen Strang just kind of points up the incredible impact that our dads have on us, whether we're conscious of it or not. I think that maybe for every one of us. Now, there have been some guys, very few of them, that I found through my small men's groups. There are a few guys who had unconditionally loving and affirming dads who gave them the big blessing of themselves and their approval when they were very, very young. For most of us, though, a little something was missing. So much so that when we think of our dads, whether they are alive or, in my case, whether they are dead, we kind of think, when we think of him, it makes us a little sad, and we wish that we could have been a little closer to our dads.
Long since retired, my son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said I'd love to die if I could find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids are the boo. But it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. As I hung up the phone, it occurred to me he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know where. We'll get together then.
Now I want to get to that question that I posed at the beginning of this edition. True or false, most men cannot become more successful than their fathers, other than by a factor of about 10%. This theory was espoused in Stephen Strang's book. And the guy he got it from measured it by the way that a boy looks at his father at age 5. The point is that you can predict somebody's success in the workplace by knowing how successful or unsuccessful his father was. Many boys had to follow their dads into the same line of work and generally lived at the same economic level. Sons of laborers became laborers, but the son of a senator often will run for a high political office. And other than the fact that the standard of living has generally improved for everyone in the last few decades, do you earn more than your dad when you were a boy? Probably not, according to Stephen Strang. Think about it. I would like to get your opinions on this. Email me.
Once we've been saved, we come to know Christ better by spending time privately with Him. We also come to know Him more by experience, through obeying Him, working His purpose through our own lives. It's true that obeying Him requires making personal adjustments to His will. But the wonderful upshot from these adjustments are the big rewards we get. The closer you draw to Christ, the more irresistible He becomes. To hear more, go to menwhowin.com. Menwhowin.com.